Okay, the boy said today's daf is Kuf Chaf Vav. We left off yesterday in the middle of the sugya on Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis. Specifically, we left off right before the word V'teheve V'tuma Tumuna V'kas V'oila, which is approximately 10 lines from the end of the Amid, from the bottom of the Amid. However, we have to really go back a few lines before that to understand what we're talking about. The Gemara brought a Mishnah. The Mishnah is halfway down the Amid. In other words, just go up another few lines, halfway down. Ditnan. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, we had Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Chavila mita usrige chaloines choytetzin ben habayis la'aliyah shloi lahachnis tuma l'tzad sheni. You want to make a chatzitza between the lower floor and the upper floor so that tuma does not spread. What can you do? You can go and put between them what the Gemara calls chavila mita. Chavila mita means the ropes that were the underpinnings of the beds of years ago. Instead of springs, they had these chavolim, which means ropes that went shesi ve'erev, horizontal and vertical. And on top of that, they would put the equivalent of the modern day mattresses, probably more straw they put on top. Or sriga chalonis are meshwork that they put in the windows. Now, the mala or the chisorin of these are that when you put them up and you spread them out, they're of course little holes. For instance, the chavila mita, since they're crisscrossed, shasiv erev, you have little holes in them. And then, of course, you have the ropes themselves and the similar construction of the sriga chaloides. So it said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi said that if you take them off the frame and you go and you pores and you spread them out, if there's chas v'sholem a mace inside the house, you put this on top of that mace, not touching the mace, but on top, then what happens is, then if and when somebody is on top of that, let's call them the lattice work, the chavile mita, well, I'm sorry?
The screen,
fine. If they're on top of the screen, so it depends where they have their hand, for instance. Let's say the mess is nebuch on the floor, or on a bed, you have the screen on top, and then a person puts his hand on top of that screen. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, depends where he has his hand. If he has his hand kenegin hanekev, where the hole is in that screen, then unfortunately the tumah will go through that hole and hit his hand and become tumah. However, he puts his hand over the rope part of the screen, then he will be tohar. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. Now we had a machloikis between Abai and Rava. Where was this screen over this person's body? Whether it was lemala min hatefach or it was lemate min hatefach. Why was that? When we say lemate min hatefach, means within a tefach of the body, so that you didn't have a full tefach space between parts of the body and parts of the screen. Lemala min hatefach means that there was plenty of space in between, and therefore the screen was even higher than that tefach. The Yad Machloikis Abai V'Rava, what that situation was. Rava wanted to go and say it must mean that the screen was high up, meaning higher than one tefach, because if it was lower than a tefach close to the body, it would be almost like let's put that aside for a moment. If it was close to the body, then it becomes mes b'ksusai. It's as if the mes is wearing that screen as his shroud on him. Why? Because it's so close to the body. And therefore Rava said, that really cannot be the case, because then, regardless of where you put your hand, you should become tamei, because it's like putting your hand on top of the mess himself. The entire screen becomes like bottle to the body of this individual, since he's wearing shrouds. And if you, chas v'sholem, near a mess wearing shrouds, you put your hand on top, it doesn't make a difference whether it's in the holds of the netting of the screen or on top of the ropes of the screen, the person's going to become tamei. He's mile ala mess. So therefore, Rava says it must be that that screen is higher up above a tefach. Well, Abaye said, no. When would you say that it's a meis b'ksusoi if, in fact, you're mevatel that screen and say, leave it there and let the meis have it, so to speak? And then it becomes like his own shroud, which then become bottled to the body, and therefore it's, of course, tamei, just like the body is tamei. But he's not being mevatel that screen. He's going to take that screen away subsequently. He's only leaving it there for a temporary chatzitza, temporary machitza. So he's not mevatel. And therefore, it could be then that the screen that we're talking about was within a tefach of the body, and nevertheless, since we're not levatel it, so it does not become bottle to the body. So therefore, it depends now where you put your hand. If you put your hand next to where the hole is, so then you're being mal alames. If you're putting it on the rope part, then you're not being mal alames. That was basically where we left off yesterday.
Within a tefach.
Whether within the tefach or above the tefach. So now, Abaye said,
what's the point of the screen? Exactly. If it's not giving any protection against the tumah, what purpose does it serve?
So that's why, in fact, Rava says it must be that it was lamala,
right,
more
right.
than one tefach above.
But according to Abaye, what purpose does it serve to have the screen here if it's not protecting against tumah?
It is protecting, because if you put your hand, if there was no screen, you put your hand over the body, then you become tameh. But because the screen is there, if you put it over where the ropes are.
At least you have a buffer there. Okay.
Exactly. If you put it over where the ropes are as opposed to where the holds are, so then that is mafsik and choitzitz with neyatum, and you wouldn't become tameh. Just be careful, don't go over the holds. But go over the ropes.
What about you, my comment, all that?
That's the Gemara's beginning today. I'm telling you, Brother Shai, over the last few weeks, you go, wow, it's unbelievable. Your Chochmas HaTorah is bursting forth, just like the Tumah Ritzutza. Exactly. Frank the Gemara, it's for to have a Tumah Tumuna by Kasva Oile. Now, when the Gemara uses the term Tumah Tumuna, that is synonymous with the term Tumah Ritzutza, which is that since you're talking about the between the screen and the body, there's less than a tabach of space, so then you should go and say it doesn't matter whether he put his hand on top of the hole or he put his hand on top of the rope. There's so much tumah from the body that's because that is bursting forth upwards, so wherever he happens to be, it should be metame that individual, which is exactly what Brother Shai was asking a moment ago. Therefore, says Yimura Kosova Rabbi Oisi, Tumah Tumuna, which is the same as Tumah Ritzutza, Eina Bekas. He does not hold of the halacha of Tumah Ritzutza, Tumah Tumuna, Bekas the Oilet. He doesn't hold of that. We do, but Rabbi Oisi respectfully disagrees. Freitimon Minotema, where did you take this from that he doesn't hold of Tumah Ritzutza, Bekas the Oilet? So Yimura Tetanan, I have another Mishnah. All these Mishnayos in our Masechtas Oyholois. And it says in the Mishnah, Teivas Hamigdol Sheyesh Bo Peseach Tefach, Ve'en Bi'etziyosa Peseach Tefach. Tuma Besoicha Bayis Tomei, Tuma Bayis Masha Besoicha Tohar, Neisha Derech Tuma Lotzeit, Ve'en Derech Tuma Likoneis. What is this all about? The Migdol that we're talking about is a large cabinet, similar to those that you might have at home. And in this cabinet there were many, many cubby holes. And each cubby hole you were able to go and put things, like you people have in their offices or people have in schools. You have a whole bunch of cubbyholes, and the size of each one of these cubbyholes was at least the size of a cubic tefach, which means tefach al tefach al tefach. Tefach, the length, the width, and the height. And therefore, that's what the Gemara calls Migdol Sheyesh Bo Peseach Tefach. Every one of these cubbyholes, or they could theoretically even be drawers, but the point is that you had in this one Migdol, numerous Peseach Tefachs. Now, we can speak about that in a minute. Ve'en Bi'etziyosa Peseach Tefach. However, right in front of the cubby hole, either the hole got a little bit smaller or there was some small obstruction, maybe a little bit of a drawer that's at least covering part of it. So the Yetziyah did not have a full Tefach al Tefach. It was blocked slightly by something in front of it. Okay, so bottom line, what are you talking about? So now there's a tumah besoicha. The tumah that we're talking about is Rachmon Litzlon, a kezayis min hames. If there's a kezayis min hames inside any one of those cubby holes, habayis tameh. The whole house is going to become tameh. However, tumah babayis, if there's a tumah inside the house, masha besoicha tohar, whatever is inside the cubby holes will remain tohar. Now, I don't understand why. What's the svara behind this?
One-way street.
It's a one-way street, yes. What's the reason why? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Misha derech tumah lotzeis. Eventually, this tumah is going to come out of the cubby hole. When they realize we're talking about a mess, Rachman Litzlan, they're not going to leave it. It's soifoy or soif tumah lotzeis. We're going to go and take it out eventually. So even though it hasn't come out yet, we deem it as if it is coming out, and so therefore the whole bias now becomes tame al tumas oil. However, if you had tumah outside of the cabinet, inside the house, you don't say that the derech tumah likanes, because why would I go and take a piece of the mess, Rachman Litzlan, and put it inside the cabinet? If anything, I would call the Chevra Kadisha to go and bury it, not to go and put it inside. So therefore, you have this rule in Hilchis Tumah that Soif Tumah Lot says, if there happens to be a particular place where the Tumah is going to go out, you assume that it's coming out already, and that place becomes Tumah. You have a similar concept where Gabi if Chas Hashem there's a mess, and you have multiple Psochim, which Pesach is the mess going to go through? Through this door, the back door, through the window, and there too the Gemara talks about which is the place that Soif Tumah Lot says. Eventually, the mess is going to come out, whichever way, and therefore, even before it comes out, that's the place that there's going to be a place of Tumah, location of Tumah. So, if you're wondering, why don't you go and say that once the Tumah is inside the Migdal, that the Migdal happens to be Tumah, and therefore the whole house is Tumah, just by the fact that you have the mess inside of the Migdal? How does the Migdal protect from the whole house? After all, you have the mess, instead of being on the floor, or being on a bed, you have this kezayis min mess inside the Migdal, Migdal inside the house. Why doesn't the whole house become tummy as a result? Says Toisis, because we're talking about a large Migdal, like the Shida Teva or Migdal that Barry referred to the other day, which is so large that you typically don't move it. It's a kli ha'osi lenachas that's going to stay in place. So therefore it's kamat like mechuber, if you will. And we have the same concept about a kli ha'osi lenachas or not, the gabi the shulchan inside the Beis HaMikdash, where the kahanim would go and pick it up three times a year to go and show the Oli Regel, Re'uchi Baskim Lefnei HaMokad, because Gemara asks, how can the shulchan ever become tamei? Since it happens to be kli ha'osi lenachas, you leave it there permanently, then the halacha is by a kli ha'osi lenachas, it's not mekabel tumah. So why do you have to go and toivel it, like the Mishnah says, Maseches Chagiga? Gemara says, because in fact they did pick it up from time to time, those three times, to go and show everyone how the lechem upon him, a week after it's baking, it's still smoking, the steam is still coming up, because it's still fresh, as if it was just baked. Anyway, so bottom line is that Migdal, because it remains in place at all times, this Migdal here of our Gemara, therefore anything inside it is like it's mechubel karka, it doesn't have the din of a kli, which goes and spreads the tumah throughout the house. So anyway, bottom line is, says the Tanakama, that you have this Migdal, if there happens to be tumah mess in one of these cubby holes, if it's pisech tefach, Deval, it's okay, it spreads, it stays inside that cubbyhole, but since it's ultimately going to come out, then derech ha'tumah lot says, and therefore the whole house becomes tummy. Rabbi Yossi Matar, what's the reason why it's Matar? Says Rabbi Yossi, I agree with your svara, the derech ha'tumah lot says, but since we're only talking about ikizayis, neshiyachal hu loitzia lechatzoin on the surfa bimkoima. Maybe the person that is going to remove that kezayis min hames, he is not going to show it tremendous amount of respect, but rather what he's going to do is going to take that kezayis, he's going to cut it in half, and now I have two chatzoy zeisim. Or what he might do is sorfa bimkoima, he's going to go and just burn it on its spot and not take it out. So maybe ein soifa lotzeis. That's that you said is dover pasha derech tumah lotzeis. Efshenish, maybe not. Even though, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to mevaza that kezayis min hames by cutting it or by burning it, but maybe this person is not a baki in Shulchan Aruch. He only knows Orach Chaim, he never got to Yeridea, he doesn't know the hilchos of kvuras hames. But since this is a possibility, we don't say derech or soif tumah lot says, and therefore the house will be tohoir, unless and until, in fact, you do take that kezayis min hames outside of the cubby hole, where it was nicely insulated, and since it was a poiseach tefach, you didn't have a problem of tefach of space, the tumah remains inside when you come out. And then, of course, it's on the time of the bayis, but says Rabbi Yossi, as long as it's inside, nothing happens. So we have a machloikis here in the reisha, and Rabbi Yossi says, Tanakami, you said it's tameh, I say it's tar. Uktani seif, and now let's continue the seif of that same Mishnah. Hamidah b'pesach, what happens if instead of this Migdal, this major cabinet, being within the house, what happens if it faces outside the house. In other words, you had a cabinet which was like on the threshold of the house, and to put items in, to take items out, you did it from outside the house. Uktani Sefer, Hamida b'Pesach, you took this mingle, you put it next to the Pesach, u'Pischa l'chutz, and the opening to the cubbyhole is all to the outside. In this case, it makes no difference whether or not Soif Tumulatzeis, because Soif Tumulatzeis over here is going to be outside La'avir Ha'oilam, and therefore it's not going to cause a situation of an oil atame, because the Soif Tumulatzeis is not to the inside of the house, it's to the outside of the house. And therefore, says the Tanna Kamma, now it makes no difference. Tuma b'soicha, even though there's tuma inside these cubbyholes, habayis tohar, because it's not going to go through the rear door. It's going to go from the front of the cabinet, outside. Outside, there's no oil a mess. Of course, make sure don't get close to the mess of that kzayis. Don't be mile on it. Don't touch it. Avad. But it doesn't make an oil a mess because it's not in the oil. Tuma b'bayis, if there was tuma inside the house, I'm sorry, mashim b'soicha tohar, then whatever is inside the house, as well as inside the cubby holes, will remain tahar. So therefore, bottom line, Tanna Kamma says, in all cases, tahar, tahar, tahar. But Tanya, I'm sorry, once again.
Why was it tahar if there's tuma in the house?
Because there's no tuma in the house. There's only tuma inside the cabinet. Let's go to the second case. If you have tuma babayis, tuma inside the house itself, mashu b'soicha, anything inside the cabinet is tahar.
Oh.
Why? Because since the tuma is on the other side of the cabinet, on this side, it doesn't enter into it. But Tani Allah, on the Sefer, Rabbi Yossi is metaher. Rabbi Yossi said, now this Tani Allah is not in the Mishnah, this is only a Braisa, and the Braisa is appended to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says it's tahar. And the Gemara says, I don't understand what we're talking about. L'chori, the Rabbi Yossi metaher is going on the Sefer, because he doesn't appear in the Mishnah in the Sefer, so that's why the Braisa adds Rabbi Yossi metaher. But let's see, what did it say in the Sefer? It said, Hamida b'pesach b'zla tomah habayis tohar. Tumah habayis mashav seicha tohar. So the Tanna Kamma says, in all cases, it's tohar. So what's Rabbi Yossi saying? Yeah, I also agree that it's tohar. Pray to Ma'ahai. Ilay ma Sefer, Tanna Kamma, nami tohurei kam metayr. I don't need Rabbi Yossi to go and say in the Braisa, I am metayr. The Tanna Kamma already said it's tohar. Elamai, it's going on the Reisha. Now, what did it say in the Reisha? Let's go back to the Reisha just for a short moment. Here we're talking about that the opening of the cubbyhole was to inside. So the Tanna Kamma said, "Tameh b'semiglus yesh bo v'seich tavach." There mitzvah to v'seich tavach. Tuma b'seich habayis tameh. Tuma b'bayis. Seich is tor. Nishad derecha. Okay, so we have a difference between whether there's tuma inside the cubbyhole, tuma inside the bayis. In the case if it's in the cubbyhole, seich tuma latzeis, and therefore it's going to be tameh. Rabbi Yossi matayr. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So we already had a Biyosi Matayr in the Reisha as well. So you can't tell me that this Biyosi Matayr of the Braisa is just repeating a Biyosi Matayr of the Reisha of the Mishnah. It's already there. El Tchometana Kama Tumah B'Soicha Bayis Tomei. Imishim the Derech Tumah Lotzeis. Imishim the Tumah Tumuna Bekas V'Komaleir Biyosi. Okay, so what is the Gemara answering? What the Gemara is answering is that you're right. Vis-a-vis the Mishnah itself, Rabbi Yossi has already said it's tahar. Why is it tahar? Because what's the reason why the Tanna Kamma said that the bias would be tameh? Because soifa tumah latzeis, we're going to take the tumah out eventually from this cabinet. It's going to go into the house. So even though I didn't take it out yet, it's already tameh. What did Rabbi Yossi respond to that? Yeah, but when I take it out, it might not take it out in a full shear. It might be in a chutzi shear. I'll cut it into two halves. Or I'll burn it b'mkoyma. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. But now the Gemara is questioning, why don't you go and say, Aliba de Tanna Kamma, or Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, that the reason why the house should be Tameh is because there happens to be Tuma inside that cubic Tefach. And that cubic Tefach, why don't we go and say that since there isn't a full amount of Tefach of space over that Kazayis, because that Kazayis also takes up some of the space. So therefore, the amount of Avir on top of it is less than a Tefach, and then we get back to Brother Shai's Kasha. Exactly. So why don't we say Tuma Tamuna or Tuma Ritzutza Bekas V'Oila, and that would be another reason to go and be Metame the Bayis. So therefore, in addition to the reason that the Tanna Kamma gives, so if a tumulat says the choyre, he should give another reason, and that reason is because of the fact that the tumah is going to burst out by the fact that it's less than a pesach tefach. So zokti gemara nachmo. Ella, says the Gemara, you know what Rabbi Yossi is responding to? He's saying that the tumah b'soicha inside the cubby hole, the bias is tummy. Imishum the derech tumah lot says that would be one svara. The imishum the tumah tumuna b'kas v'oila that would be a second svara. Says Rabbi Yossi, the kamalei Rabbi Yossi. The kamris that you said derech tumah lot says yachol hula hitziel lechatzayin alisay from mimkayma, like we already said in the Mishnah. Ud the kamris and that that you say tumah tumuna b'kas. That the tumah would burst out, tumah tumuna ain't a bekas. I respectfully disagree, and that's why it says Rabbi Yosef Matayer. He's saying ignore whether or not you have the svara of seifa tumulotzes. Ain't seifa tumulotzes. There's probably another svara of the tumah tumuna bekas. Now, in fact, the Tanakhama didn't address tumah tumuna bekas or tumah ritzuta bekas. He didn't say anything about it. How is Rabbi Yosef now conjuring up? I know what the Tanakhama is thinking in his mind. He's thinking that there are two reasons why it might become tummy. Number one, because of the fact that Seifa Tumah Lot says. And number two, because of the fact even without that, I have the Tumah Bekas, because it's Tumah Tumuna, Tumah Ritzutza. I didn't see the Tanakhama mentioning that. So why does Rabbi Yossi have to respond to it? No, you don't have to worry about it, because I don't hold of the din of Tumah Tumuna. It's so tumun that the Tanakhama didn't even say a word. That's how hidden it is from open sight.
What is
Tumah Tumuna? Tumah is the same thing like Tumah Ritzutza, which means that the Tumah is cramped. Cramped means there's no room to expand.
Okay.
And so therefore, and that's why it bursts out, because it's less than a tefach. Oh, very good.
Like in the middle of the bone, there is no...
We talked about the middle bone, the kulias, we exactly had the same thing by Tumah. Stumah and Ritzutza. Very good. Can I know? Don't leave them on Sunday night. We're going to need you to help. These are difficult gemaras over here. We need all the assistance we can get. So Rashi says, why did Rabbi Yossi respond to something that wasn't even put on the table? Says Rashi, no, it was put on the table. Why? Because since this Mishnah mentions that each one of the cubby holes had a size of a Pesach Tefach, why was that a crucial piece of information? Even if it was less than a Pesach Tefach, wouldn't you say the same halach applies? It all depends on Seif Tumalatzeis or Ein Seif Tumalatzeis. And the answer is no, because the Tanakhama says if I didn't have the Svara of Seif Tumalatzeis, the house and the mikvah, everything would be Tohar. Why would it be Tohar? Because I have that full Tefach al Tefach. So I did have room for expansion, so not expansion, but at least for the Tumah to reside. The Tumah did not have to burst out. So now Rabbi Yossi is being Madaik. That's only because you had a full Pesach Tefach. But what happens if you only had 0.9 or 0.8 of a Pesach Tefach, you had less, then the Tumah would reside in there. It would burst out because there's not enough room. And then the Tanakhama would say, it's Tumah for a second reason. Not only because Seif Tumah Latzeis, but because these cubby holes are so small, it's Tumah Ritzutza, Tumah Tumuna, Bekas, because they don't have a full Tefach. That's why Rabbi Yossi said on the top, Rabbi Yossi Metaya, getting back to the Gemara. Start again, third line. You know why? Either mishum derech tumah latzeis, like he says, the feirish. The imishum the tumah tumuna bekas, which is implicit, meaning the fact that he says that talking about that each cubby hole has that pesach tefach, he's implying that if it was less than that, there would be another reason why it would be tumah, and that is because, like Brother Shai said at the outset of the shir, because the tumah ritzutza bekas v'oilah. V'kam l'Rabbi Yossi t'gamris derech tumah latzeis. Like he said, befeirish in the Mishnah. You didn't say it explicitly, but you said it implicitly by the fact that he said that each cubby hole has to be at least a Pesach Tefach. Oh, so that's how we started off today's Gemara. The Tehevi Ketumah Tumuna Bekas. Oh, look, it's a Rabbi Yossi. Tumah Tumuna Eina Bekas. We learned it from that Mishnah. Very good. So we have a clear cut raya. Rabbi Yossi holds. There is no din of tumuna, ritzutza, tumuna, tumuna, going and bibakas v'ayla. However, the Rami de Rabbi Yossi, Ad Rabbi Yossi, I'm going to ask you a stira now on another Rabbi Yossi. Did not, and I have a Mishnah now. In this Mishnah, we're going to have four mandi yomrim. We're going to start off with Rameir, then we're going to have Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe Lozer, which is Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua, and finally Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda. What is the case over here? You have a kelev, a dog, she'ochel psar emes. Rachmon litzlan, it was hungry, and ate psar emes, at least a kezayis, and it's inside the kelev. Umes a kelev, and the kelev died. It doesn't say that it died from indigestion because it ate psar emes. It died. Now, why is that so important that the Kelev died? Explains Rashi, because if the Kelev were alive, we have the concept of Tumah Belua. Tumah Belua means that if you have Tumah within the insides of person, or Lahavdil, an animal, then that the structure, the anatomy of the person's body, as well as Lahavdil, the animal, that protects from the Tumah leaving from inside, as well as, in reverse, Tumah entering inside the individual. For instance, we've had already in the Gemara before, what happens if you had a person that by accident, or animal by accident, swallowed a tohoir ring. Ring, good, everything is fine, it's now in the person's stomach, and now that person or that animal walks into an oil hames. Obviously, he becomes tummy. Animal doesn't become tummy because an animal alive can't be mekabel tumah, but the person is mekabel tumah. So he comes out of the oil. He asks the rabbi, "What does he have to do? You have to go to the parah adumah man, and you have to have azor shlish yishvi, and then you go to the mikveh." No, okay. He did the whole geschäft. It's now 2 weeks later, and guess what happens? The ring finally gets out of his body. So now you think, oh, I have to go and be mitired that ring, because the ring was inside the oil mess 2 weeks ago. And the answer is no. Once it's in the recesses of the body of the person, that acts as a protective buffer, something similar to a kli cheres that has its summit puzzle olav, that it protects against the tumah, and the other way around too. That if he swallowed a ring that was tumah, so then that tumah does not come out, it remains within the recesses of the body until it leaves the body, and then, if you touch it then you get into trouble. Anyway, so the point is that would be Tumah Belua by a live person or a live animal. Here we're talking about the Kelev is dead. So therefore this Tumah Belua concept does not apply. So he ate a Bsar HaMes. And it's talking about Mesa Kelev, and although the Gemara and the Rashi don't mention it, it means that the Kelev died within 3 days of ingesting that Bsar HaMes. Because after 3 days, we assume that the Basar inside the body has now totally decomposed, and it's no longer considered to be mess material, it's considered to be waste material, like glolim, like excrement. And so therefore, that's no longer mitame. But within the first 3 days, we assume that there's still an identity of mess inside the body. And so what happens now? Umeisa kelev died. Umutal alu eskupa, and it's lying on the eskupa. Eskupa means the shvel, or the threshold as you're entering into the house. And the head of this animal is directed into the house, although the rest of the body is on the eskupa, on the threshold outside the house. So just the head is extending into the house. Okay, so now, what's the story? So Remeir Oimer, Im Yesh B'Tzavori Paiseach Tefach Mevi Esatuma, V'im Lav Eine Mevi Esatuma. Remeir says, remember, you have to have a dinner Paiseach Tefach, and he says the Paiseach Tefach, you measure it the entire width and length of the tzavar, meaning the neck of the animal, assuming that that tzavar has that status of besech tefach, 1 by 1 inches, not inches, tefachim, of space. Now, he only talks about the tzavar. He doesn't talk about the goroin or the veshet. Tzavar, therefore, includes the whole tzavar, the whole neck, and so it's not only the throat, it's not only the vashet, it's also the windpipe, and not only that, also any atzomais, any bones which are inside the neck, as well as any flesh or any fat inside the neck. Everything he puts in together.
The skin.
And the skin, yeah, even the skin, exactly. Everything
the skin
together.
Is hard.
Well, it's hard or not is not the point. The Gemara is hard enough even without getting to the skin being hard. But the point is that you have a Pesach Tefach. Since you have a Pesach Tefach, that allows Soif HaTumah Lotzeis. And so therefore, if there is Mes Nebuch residing within the body of this Kelev, and the head is beyond the threshold into the house.
The head or the neck?
But well, the head is connected to the neck, and the neck is connected to the rest of the body, and so therefore what we're saying is that the tumah which is inside, which is in a mini ohel, because the top part of the animal is on top of this top of the mess. This mess is soif tumah lotzeis through the mouth, and so therefore, since there's a peisach tefach, there's room for the mess to go and the tumah of the mess to go out, and it's like in the cubby hole that we said before. Just like what's in the cubby hole, it's within that poiseach tefach. But soif tumah lotzeis, and that's why the whole house will be tumah even before it leaves. Here too, the Soif Tumulatzes, even though over here Soif Tumulatzes is a much weaker concept, because if you just leave it in the Kelev, presume they just take the Kelev out and just dump it somewhere. But nevertheless, at least halachically, it's as if Soif Tumulatzes, and says Rameir, if there is enough space of Pesach Tefach, maybe it's a Tuma. Then when we say maybe it's a Tuma, it means like Moitzi is a Tuma. We're looking upon the Tuma inside the stomach of this Kelev as if it's not the mess itself, because I expect the mess is going to stay there, but at least the Tuma is going to leave.
House.
I'm sorry, through.
It's going to go into the house.
It's going to go into the house, and that's why maybe it's a Tuma, and that's why the house will be Tumah. However, if it's less than a Peseach Tefach, then we do not assume that this will be the exit strategy for the mess inside. We assume therefore the mess will stay inside and the tumah will not leave that Peseach Tefach going into the body, and therefore the house will remain tahar. That's what remains.
Did they close their mouth and tie it up? Or they flip the dog so his mouth is facing the other way?
All of that is great. But even if they didn't do all of the above, as long as the tzavar is less than a Peseach Tefach, then you don't have to worry about the tumah. If it is a Peseach Tefach, maybe that's what you'd have to do. Stuff up the mouth, or take the whole kelev out, take the mouth out. All good ideas. Yes?
Before we said, even if you have a whole, like a se'ara,
The se'ara, that we're going to deal with on the Amid Beis. You wait for that, we're going to get to the Amid Beis.
Beautiful.
Very, very good point. See, I told you, you shouldn't leave Sunday night, we need you. But actually, we'll talk about the Amid Beis. But in the meantime, the Gemara continues on. That was so far Rebbeim. So Rebbeim talks about that the chalal, not the chalal, that the size of the tzavar is a Peseach Tefach, maybe it's a tuma, if not, any maybe it's a tuma. Rav Yossi Oymer, Royin Keneged HaShokuf V'Lefnim, Habayis Tomeh, V'Keneged HaShokuf V'Lachutz, Habayis Tohar. The word Shokuf is similar to the word Mashkoif. Mashkoif means the lintel, that's the top of the door. Here we don't mean necessarily the lintel, what we mean is that the way this threshold was constructed, it was fairly wide, and the door would close whenever you would open or close the door. It would stop in the middle of that shvel, in the middle of the threshold. So in other words, it didn't come flush either with the outside of the threshold nor with the inside, but somewhere in the middle. And that's what's called the shakuf, because the word mashkev in shakuf means where the door hits and closes. So it says our Gemara, says Rabbi Yossi, you just spoke about that the Kelev was on the Iskupa generally, without really being too specific, except talking about that the mouth was extended into the house, and then depending on whether the Tzavar was a Peseach Tefach or not. Says Rav Meir, no. I'm sorry, says Rav Yossi, you have to look where, in fact, the Kelev and the mouth and the head are. Are they Keneged HaShokuf HaLefnim? Are they located inside? Then the Bayis is Tameh, which means beyond where the door would normally close, so then they're inside the house. We can get a shovel the chutz, however, if then from the outside a bias is torn, then the bias would be torn. Exactly what we says Royan in the Havamina, says Rashi, means where the mess resides inside the body. So is the mess inside the body, is that over the threshold, or is that on the other side?
You mean the stomach?
The stomach, exactly.
And that's what the Havamina says, it's over.
Exactly. But that's so far in the Havamina. We're not done yet. Now we're getting to number three, which is Reblaz. Reblaz Oymer, Piv Lefnim, Habayis Tor, Piv Lechutz, Habayis Tomei, Mishatomei Yoytze Derech Shulav. Reblaz is the easiest to understand of all of them. Reblaz says, why do you keep on talking about that the tumor is going to go out of the mouth end? Normally, if because of the normal digestion of people and of animals, the Havdol, what happens to something which is digested? It usually goes through the rectum, goes the other way out. Therefore, Reblaz says, instead of talking about that the mess is going to go from the mouth into the house, you should really be talking about that the animal is in reverse, that the mouth is towards the outside, the rectum is towards the inside. And therefore, he says, where is it, soif tumulatzeis, more likely from the bottom than from the top? And therefore, piv lefnim, a bayis tor, it's not going to go through the mouth. But piv lachutz, the pez on the outside, and the back of the animal is to the inside, then a bayis tumah, nishtumah, yoytze derech shulav, shulav means through the bottom, as opposed to through the top. So he just reverses the scenario. It really makes no difference whether or not the mouth is toward the front, or the back is toward the front. Since sometimes, says Rashi, when a person and or an animal eat Not necessarily does the food go through the backside. Sometimes the person is makey. Makey means that he regurgitates. So therefore, it's theoretically possible that it's going to go out through the front side, through the mouth. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether the mouth side is inside or the rectum side is inside. The bias is tumma. You got to be machmeh because you don't know with sefer tumma matzis. Okay. Now we're not going to focus on any of the tanoim except for Rabbi Yossi and how he interacts with Remeir. So now, remember what did Remeir say? That in Yesh Betzavori, Poiseach Tafach, Poiseach, maybe Satoma. The Imav, Eina, maybe Satoma. And now Rabbi Yossi says it depends where the Mashkef is, where the door would slam or would end in the middle. So now, says Imara, it's not clear what Rabbi Yossi is referring to when he's addressing Remeir. My lava Ein Betzavori, Poiseach Tafach Koi. Rabbi Yossi, perhaps Rabbi Yossi is going on the Ein Betzavoroi. That was the second half of Remeir. First half of Remeir is Yesh Betzavoroi Poiseach Tefach. We have like a clean opening, clean exit hatch from which the tumah will go through. Seif tumah latzeis, and that's why it's tummy. On the other hand, the Imlav, if you didn't have a Poiseach Tefach, Ein Mevis a tumah, it's going to be tahar. So the Gemara suggests that what Rabbi Yossi is doing is being machmir on Remeir, and he's saying that even if it's ein bitzavori paiseach tefach, it's nevertheless maybe a satumah. You know why? Because if there's no room for paiseach tefach, what's going to happen with that tumah? The tumah is going to be tumah ritzutza beikas v'yoytzei, that the tumah is going to burst out. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is being machmir vis-a-vis the Tanakhama that says it depends. You are paiseach tefach, nish paiseach tefach. Rabbi Yossi, who cares paseach tefach or not? If it happens to be a small area, then the tumah is going to say, I can't stay here, I got to burst out, and it's going to burst out into the house. So that's what the Gemara started off with on this shtickle, the Rami Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. From the Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah and the Braisa that we learned at the outset of today's shir, we said that Rabbi Yossi holds there is no din of tumah retutsa bekas v'yoytze. Here, l'choy, I see that he holds, yes, tumah temuna is bekas v'yoytze. And that's why the Gemara said, Rabbi Yossi is not like Rabbi Yossi. We have a steer, Rami, Rabbi Yossi, ad Rabbi Yossi. Amarava, no, you're making a mistake. What's going on is royin es halal hatumah ktani. When we said initially the royin, which remember we spoke about royin, where does the mace reside? In the stomach, outside, inside. But that's not what the royin is talking about. Royin es halal hatumah ktani. We're going to look not at the outside of the tzavar, we're going to look at the halal hatumah, meaning the
space,
inside the neck, and specifically inside the goroin. Is the throat or is the esophagus wide enough that it has the space of a peseach tefach, or is it much more constrained? And so therefore what Rabbi Yossi is saying is Rabbi Yossi betarti poli. Rabbi Yossi is arguing with Remeir in two respects. The kamalei, he says to Remeir, that you said ki yesh b'tzavori paiseach tefach, maybe it's a tumah. That what? You look at the tzavoroi, including the entire inside of that tzavor, which includes both the windpipe and the food pipe, as well as any bones, as well as any flesh, as well as any fats. That you said b'tzavori paiseach tefach, I disagree. Anan basach halola azlinen. I look strictly to the hollow part inside the tzavar, which means the goroin, which means the veshet, where the tumah originally went down, the mess, the kelev ate the mess, and where it's possible that the tumah would now burst out on the other side. Why would it come out on the other side? Because I look at the halal. So if that halal is a peseach tefach, I maskim with you, says Rabbi Yossi. But if it's not a peseach tefach, then I disagree. So instead of Rabbi Yossi being machmir on Divrei Remeir, he's really being meikel on Divrei Remeir. Because Remeir says that if the entire tzavor, bakol mikol kol, is peseach tefach, maybe it's a tumah. Then the tumah has an exit from the body into the house. Says Rabbi Yossi, even if it wasn't, not even if it wasn't, you don't look at whether the tzavor was peseach tefach, you look at whether the halal inside was a peseach tefach, which means you have to ignore the flesh which is inside and the fats and the bones and even the windpipe. You're only going to look at the esophagus, that's going to be the food pipe. If that has halal tefach, then the tumah will come out. If it does not have a halal tefach, then the tumah will stay inside. So therefore, he's being meikel. Rabbi Meir says, You look at the whole thing, and if there's a tefach, then it's maybe it's a tumah. So Rabbi Yosi, you don't look at the whole thing, you only look at the halal. That's number one. Number two says, Rabbi Yosi Turameir, Udaka Amris, take out the word Abayis, but Iskupa Kula Tomei, that you said that if the dog happens to be on the entire Iskupa, Iskupa again being the threshold, so therefore he's in the house, so to speak. No. Mekineged HaShakur V'lefneim Abayis Tomei. Mekineged HaShakur V'lechutz Abayis is Tor. It really depends on where the Kelev is on the Shvel, on the threshold. Is it on that side that if you close the door he would be an outsider? Or is it on the side where if you close the door then the Kelev would be an insider? So what have we accomplished by giving this new pshat? We have accomplished is, you had thought that what Rabbi Yossi was arguing was, and he was machmer and Rabbi Meir, and saying even if you didn't have a tzava peisech tefach, it's still maybe a tumah, based on what? Based on that the tumah ritzutza beikas v'yotzei, that the tumah inside is going to go into the house and make everything tameh. So I could care less how wide or how narrow the tzavra of the animal is. Says you want to know, that's not the pshat. Rabbi Yossi, in fact, is coming to be Mekel on Rabbi Meir, and he's coming to tell us that even if the tzavra is a Beiseach Tefach, if the halal is not a Beiseach Tefach, the tumah will not come out. Why does the tumah come out? Tumah Ritzutza Beikas V'yoytze. Rabbi Yossi L'shitasai, both in the previous Mishnah and in this Mishnah, he holds in both cases that we do not subscribe to this halacha of tumah retzutza beikas v'oilim. And in fact, Rav Achbari, the Rav Masi Lebehedya, have befeirish in a braisa. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, roines chalala tumah. I don't look at the tzavar, I look at the halal. If the halal happens to be a tefach, then the tumah goes out and the house will be tumah. If you don't have a halal of a tefach, then it will stay inside, and we don't say tumah ritzutza because the ice. So this was the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which we've expanded and expounded at some length. Uman tana de paligalei, who disagrees and holds that there is a din of tumah ritzutza, Reb Shemini. And from here, Rabbi Yossi, till the end of the Amud Beis, Baruch Hashem is relatively speaking smooth sailing. Who's this Reb Shemini? This is Reb Shemini. Reb Shemini says, Sholosh tumos horshos min hames, shtayim bekol achas u'shlishes ein behen. Now there are two different types of threes that we're talking about. One three is that there are three types of mes which are mitameh, and then the second group of three is that there are three ways that can be mitameh: the maga, touching; masa, carrying; or ba'oil, inside an oil hames. So he's saying that of the three that we're talking about, as which we're going to enumerate momentarily, each case you don't have all three, maga, masa, and oil. Each case you only have two out of the three. So says Reb Shimon, Sholish tumas porshes menes. We have three different types of tumah that come out of a mess. Rashi points out there are really many more types. There are five or six or seven different types of scenarios, but we're just focusing on three, which we will enumerate momentarily. Shtayim bekol achas. Each one of them has two out of the maga, masa, and oil. Ushlichus ein behem, but doesn't have the third one. So only has maga, masa, and not oil. Or just maga and oil, and not masa, as you'll see. Ve'elehem. So what are the three that we're talking about? Mloy tarvet rekib. Etzem kisoira v'goyle v'doifik. Mloy tarvet rekib, we already had the Gemara yesterday. That means you have a large ladle full of decomposed human being dust. Rachman litzlan, after a person decomposes for 6 months or a year or whatever, the whole body turns just into dust. Now if you take a tarvid, which is a large ladle, fill it up, the loy tarvid rekiv, that is metame. Number two, etzem kisoira, if you have a full bone, the size of a barley corn, that is metame. The goyle v'doifik, says Rashi, means the cover of an oroin and the side walls of an oroin. Those are also metame. If you touch that, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, what will be the din, whether it's maga, masa, oil, baltim, say. So now on these three, again, Reb Shimon explains, maloi tarvid rekev, mitami b'masa, uba oil. It's only mitami b'masa, when you carry that ladle, or b'oil, if that tarvid rekev is inside a house, then it becomes tami b'oil ames. Veni mitami b'maga, however, if you just touch the rekev, then you do not become tummy tumas maga. Why didn't you become tummy tumas maga? So we had the Gemara the other day, because it's impossible to touch the entire 1,000 or 5,000 particles of dust. Whatever you touch, it's not mechubit to the rest. So when you're touching chas v'shalom, excuse me, ekzayis min ames, you don't have to touch the whole ekzayis min ames. You touch part of it, it's all mechubit, it's one shtick. But here you're talking about 5,000 different little particles of dust. So if you touch one or two or five or 20, you're still not touching the whole thing. So there's no tumas maga. So that's why of the three, maga, masa, and oil, you only have masa and oil. The heichen magoi, so where are you going to have the din of maga? Im achas mehen, by one of the other two, meaning the etzem kisa oira, or the goil v'dayfik. And now, again, Reb Shimon continues on. Etzem kisa oira, you have a small little bone, like a barley corn. Metamba b'masa, if you pick the whole thing up. Ubamago, if he touched it, you become tummy. Then metamba oil. Because by oil, you have to have a roiv atzamais, a roiv minyan, roiv binyan, many more than just one little bone. So again, you only have two out of the three. Ve'echen aholei, so you're wondering, how could it have a tumas oil? And machas mehen, if it was one of the other cases, meleitavet rekev, or goylev daifik. Here you only have two out of the three. And the same thing, goylev daifik. That means the cover of the aron and the side walls of the aron. Ve'metamba b'mago ba'oil. If you go and touch one of those walls, even without putting your hand over the aron, you touch it on the side, you become tameh. Ve'metamba masa. But if you carry it, you're not, you don't become tameh masa. Ve'chemasoi, so where would you have masa? Machas mehen, with one of the others, meaning with either the case of the etzem kisoira or the maloi tarvid rekiv.
Yeah. Is the box more than a tefach?
The inside of the box is more than a tefach, correct. But on the outside, we're talking about you're touching the cover or you're touching the side.
So whoever carries the iron doesn't get tummy.
The chayda you can go and ask is, anybody that's carrying, by definition, he's also touching the sides of the iron. Mm-hmm. So why don't you go and say, why does it say if it's matan b'maga, then matan b'masa, as soon as he starts picking it up, he's touching it. So the Gemara often talks about that. And the Gemara says because there are ways of carrying without touching. The typical Gemara gives a case of a mushal. You have a mess which is on a kazayis min a mess on one side of a scale, and the other side of the scale you have your liter or your pound weight. And now you put a lot of weight on one side, and as a result, the kazayis min a mess is raised up on the side of the scale. Or on the other hand, if you take off the weight, then it's going to come down. Not like a, I'm sure as a child you played on a seesaw, right? You go up and down, up and down. So here too, you didn't actually touch the kazayis min ames. Somebody else put it into one side of the scale, but then you pull the scale down, or you put the scale up, like a seesaw, up and down. So you've been masa, even yet, though you haven't been maga. You've raised it or lowered it without touching it. So you have the same type of concept of here. Here, of course, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to try to conjecture up a case of maga without masa, or masa without maga, but it's the same type of situation. Anyway, so what have I seen from this? What I've seen from this is that it said Maloi Tarvid Rekev has a din of maga umasa, and it doesn't have a din of oil. Remember when we said yesterday, we started off with Rabbi Yossi. I'm sorry, once again. No maga. Or did I say oil? I'm sorry, I messed it up. My apologies. And it's metamba b'masa b'oil, but it's not metamba b'maga. Good, fine. Shkoyach, thank you. Now, the Gemara said yesterday, we wanted to go and prove what does Rabbi Yossi hold, whether he considers maga and oil to be the same thing. So the Gemara said that Rabbi Yossi says in the Braiso, yesterday's Omer Beis, Kufchav Hei, that 8 lines on the top, Meloi Tavid Rekim metamba b'maga, uba masa, uba oil. Both maga, masa, and oil. So even maga. The Gemara says, "Bishlam a masa of oil a katan le kule, v'akamai le kule, negia le noga be kule." Alav shemamina, my negia is mild. This is negia; it's mild. It's one and the same. It says both negia and mild. So it talks about what the malam in itefach or the malam in itefach. He had a bay v'rova yesterday, but you see that the lotion of the brisa was that you have all three: matam maga, uba masa, uba oil. Here we're saying Reb Shimon in a brisa, and he's saying that legabe tumas rekev, you only have two of the three. You only have the masa and the oil. You don't have the maga. Therefore, says our Gemara, says Rashi, that's what we meant when we said on the Amud Aleph, who's the one that argues with Rabbi Yossi? It's Rabbi Shimon. The sign of Rabbi Shimon Oimer, that he makes that distinction between the oil and the maga. But yesterday when we had Rabbi Yossi, he did not make that distinction, because it's like Rabbi Yochanan said, he holds that Negea and oil are basically both the same. Okay, on to the final shtickel, and now we're going to get to your comments of before as well as in the Mishnah. Kulyas Nevel and Kulyas Hasharetz. What did we say about Kulyas Nevel and Kulyas Hasharetz? That if they happen to be sosum from all sides, even though you touched this and you carried it, you don't become tummy. It's only if it has a hole inside. How large is the hole, even if it's kechutz asara, that allows you to go and put in a hair? Right? That's what you were talking about before. So it says, Gemara, turn about. It says in the pasuk, kol negia b'nevlosa, you touch the nevela. V'loi b'kul yestuma, but not if you're touching a bone which is totally closed from all sides, no holes, even though there happens to be a kezayis of moyach, of marrow inside, you are tohoir. Why are you tohoir? Because nevlosa will b'kul yestuma. Yochah fila nikva, maybe the same thing should apply if you made a small little pinhole. Tamaloi negia yitma. Eshef shaliga tamav, eshef shaliga is tohoir. What's the raya? Because it's an agia yitma. So Rashi says the raya is from the extra yud. Where's the extra yud? It could have said an agia betame. An agia tame. What did it say? An agia yitma. So the yud you say to kadosh. That's how Rashi learns. However, on the side, there's a shita mukubetzis that says yitma we have frequently in the Torah. That's what it means. An agia you touch it. Yitma you will become tame. And the raya is not from the yud of yitma, the ray is the hay of hanagia. That's actually could have said nagia yitma, which is hanagia. That hay comes to go and give us the following rule. Eshef shaliga tummy, if you can go and touch the basar, even though you're not touching the basar, I'm just touching the bone. But if I could touch the basar because it has a nekev, then there's a din of tumma magu masa on the bone. Veshef shaliga, but if I cannot touch the inside, why can't I touch it? Because it's totally sasim, then it's tar. So that's the basis of our Mishnah, the difference between stuma or between that it's nekuva. What happens if you have not flayed the oir yet from the behema? The behema just died, and it has the oir encompassing the entire behema. Are you telling me that if I touch the oir, I'm not going to become tame because it's efshel liga bebasar, because it's totally enclosed inside the oir? And let me ask the behemah ba'ira loy tetame. Zokti Yomorin, no, you're wrong. Pankhazi kam in a kov miyeshpa. There's so many holes inside the behemah. What does he mean that there's so many holes? Says Rashi, don't just look at the bottom half of the behemah beyond the neck towards the tail. Look also at the head. And the head has it two eyes and two ears and two nostrils and a mouth. Those are all nekovim inside the behemah. And therefore, there you'd be able to put your finger in to the basar of the behemah in those holes. So therefore it is efshaliga, and that's why it would be tameh if you touch the oil from the outside of the behemah. Amalei Rabbi Rava, what happens kulya b'chalva? What happens if you have the cloyers? Cloyers are the kidneys, which are enveloped from all sides with chaylev. Loi tameh, you shouldn't become tameh because you cannot reach the basar inside. It's so encapsulated in the chaylev from the outside. Says, look inside the chaylev and you'll see these little strings coming out. These are not threads from a weaving loom, but these threads are in fact pieces of meat which are coming out, and those you can touch and those you can see. So it's efshaliga, and therefore the cloyers would be tamei after all, or be tamei the person if the cloyers are from a nevela. What happens, we said now, in the kulyas nevela, the kulyas sheret, it depends whether it's sosum or whether it has a hole in it. Says Raboishi, what happens if I have, in fact, this kulyas, which at the moment is sosum, but I intend in a minute from now to make a nekev? So chishav of the noikva v'loi nikva, but the val, I haven't made the nekev yet. I've only had the machshava. Mal, mechusa nekiva ki mechusa maisa dami, the fact that you don't have a nekev yet means you don't have a nekev, and therefore it's sosum, and therefore it's tohoir. Oiloi, or do you say, making a pinhole inside this bone is very simple. I just give a little press, I'll make a hole in it. So that's a gunish mit gunish. So therefore it's deemed as if it does have a nekev, and therefore it is metame after all. Hadapasha, he was poishe to shalom, mechusa nekiva, lav ki mechusa maisa dami, making a nekev in a bone is a very simple undertaking. So it's as if it's already nekuva, and therefore it is metame after all. That's the girsa in Agma.
Even if it's tuma, because you can make it with your mind.
Exactly. Even though it's totally sosum now, if you make your decision, I'm going to go and make a nekev, even if I didn't make the nekev yet, it already is metame. That's our Lashon HaGemar. However, you see next to the word lav, there's a gimel, or you have maybe another ois, and that gimel takes us to the Hagois Vitzionim, or the Shita Mekubetes, that says that there's another gersa, which is just the opposite, and that is Mechusar Nekiva Kemechusar Masadami. And we take out the word lav, and therefore it's just the opposite. In fact, that Mechusar Nekiva is Kemechusar Maisa, it's as if there is no nekiv. Not it's as if there is no nekiv. You intend making a nekiv. When you make it, we'll worry about it then. But the moment there is no nekiv, it's kimachus amaisa. Nothing happened, and therefore it's awesome, and it's not metame after all. So we have two different girsois. And in fact, the sheet even brings a third girsa where these last few words don't appear at all. It doesn't say mechus nekiva, kimachus amaisa. It doesn't say mechus nekiva, lav kimachus amaisa. And therefore, the Gemara is really leaving it as an Iboyed Ifshita. I don't know what the halacha would be in such a case where he decided to make a nekev and he didn't make a nekev yet. So there are three ways of learning our Gemara, whether it's considered to be tar, whether it's considered to be tameh, or whether in fact it's a suffix. Okay, on to the next mission. Zuk to Mishnah. The Beya Sasher, it's Hamiru Kemes Tohira. Beya, Rashi points out that most Shrotzim go and have births. Just like lehavdil, I don't know lehavdil, but animals, right? You have your normal animal, a cow that's giving birth, or you have your tzoin that's giving birth, your sheep. You have your goats giving birth. They don't go and let out a large egg like a chicken or like birds do, but the actual animal comes out. That's the shlal, the shlil that we've had inside, or the vlad inside. Right? It's not inside a shell; it's born. Just like a human being, a baby is not born inside a white shell like a chicken egg. So says our Gemara, however, there are three shrotzim that do come out in that form. The tzov, the halto'a, and the chomet. We normally translate the tzov as being a toad, which is similar to a frog. Lito'a is a lizard, chomet is a snail. They do lay eggs. So if you have an egg from one of these shrotzim, hamirukemes, as Rashi means, that you can see through the eggshell that the sheretz is already beginning to develop, like an efroach. An efroach means a baby chick when you're talking about eggs. Did you ever buy an egg in the store and you open it up and see a chick inside? No. It's all just eggs. However, if it was a fertilized egg, then you could find it. Here we found inside the base of sheretz, we didn't open up the shell yet, it's still sosum, but I see inside that there's already the beginning of a sheretz. Tohoira, why tohoira? Like we just said, because it's sosum. But nikva koshi made us more lechel than its tamei. And now, this part of the Mishnah is something which is amazing. It's amazing because anybody that listens to it says this type of thing doesn't exist. However, the Mishnah tells us, Achbar is a mouse. Shechetzie basar, half of it is already flesh, v'chetzie adama, and half of it is still earth. Really?
How is that?
That's the point. Sorry? A goylem. Anyway, if you look at Rashi,
it's a chatzigolem.
If you look at the Rashi right before the wide lines, two lines before, yesh min achbar, there is a type of achbar she'ene poverava, it doesn't grow from relations between a male and a female. Ela me'atzmei noitze, it grows on its own. Me'adoma, from the ground. Ki ashpa, like a garbage dump. Hamashretzes teiloim. What happens if you have, let's say, fruit on your counter in your kitchen, and then you just leave it there, and it's warm in the kitchen, and it's not going to cool off, then all of a sudden you see slowly but surely all types of decay, and then little fruit flies, and perhaps even teiloim, even worms. Now, where did this worm come from? It didn't come from outside the house. It developed naturally from inside the fruit itself. Therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, you have that same concept, but yeah, achbar, then achbar could be born from the ground up. Half of it happens to be an achbar, the mouse, and half of it is still adam. If you wait a little bit longer, it'll eventually all become full-grown achbar. However, midstream, it's only halfway mouse and halfway adam. Now, this sounds like, I never heard of something like that. So I was going to bring the Mishnah Yisroel and Abayis and show everybody, but I forgot. And there in the Tveres Yisrael, the Yochan Abayis, it says that there was a German scientist by the name of Link, who wrote a book called Urvelt. And in the Urvelt, he describes, yes, that he saw such an Akbar where half of it is made out of flesh and bones, and half of it was still Adama, but eventually it would become fully grown, a fully grown Akbar.
I have a sefer at home by Levinger from Switzerland, and he has a picture of it. And my understanding is that it's entirely a gopher, like a small, and it's just that when it's observed surrounded by earth. And so it gives the illusion that it's half.
Okay.
So it's not really. That's why eventually it emerges and shakes off. So when they see these things, they're so, because they're brown and they look like the earth, they look like they're half earth.
Okay. Good. Anyway, so in our Mishnah it says, "Achma shechetzi bas vechetzi adama." Half of it is still bas, half of it is adama. In other words, half of it is still adama. Hanagiba bas. If you touch the baser part, now we're talking about the achma die. Because the apple is alive, Shmoni Shiratzim is not Metami unless it's dead. Okay, so it's never going to develop, unfortunately, into its full-grown Akbar. Half of it is Akbar, half of it is Adama. And again, if you touch the Basar part, it's Tamei. If you touch the Adama part, it's Tar, because that's not an Akbar. It's just Adama, just Earth. If you don't even have to give Adama, you can get a Basar, it's also Tamei, because you look at it, not only what it is, but what the potential would have grown into full Akbar. So, you're Tamei on all sides. Good. We'll talk about this more in a moment. Tanarabat. Hatzimayim. We've had this drush already a few times. Hatzimayim is referring to the Shiratzim. It could have said Eila Tzimayim. Shteit Hatzimayim. Hatzimayim, the rabbis, Beyas Hasheretz. That's the Beyas Hasheretz we talked about in our Mishnah. Those three Shiratzim that lay eggs. The Kulyas Hasheretz, or if you have a Kulya, a bone of a Sheretz, that those two are Tamei. It's not only the Tamei, the bone is not only because it's a Yad or a Shomer, it's Tamei because Hatzimayim. That's just like the Basar is Tamei, the Kulyas is also Tamei for the Sheretz. Yochal Afil Loi Rikma, getting back to the Beyas Sheretz, I would think that this applies even if it didn't develop into an Efroach, a baby Sheretz inside. In other words, I would think even if it's just plain egg, Tamaloim no HaSheretz. Eilu HaTzmeim Lechem Min HaSheretz. My Sheretz, Sherokam, just like a Sheretz, it's got to be that the Sheretz is already at least in the embryonic stage that it's starting to grow. If it's just still a plain egg with a white, with a yellow or something, you didn't have any development, the sheretz is bunish mikudish. Now, what happens if in fact it's takarikma? And you can see with x-ray, or you can see, put it up to the sun, you can see through the shell and you see takarikma. The beginning of a sheretz is starting to grow inside this bayah. Yochla filay nikvu, I would think now the whole bayah is tameh. Even from the outside without a nekev, Tamaloy Mahana Yitma. You have to be able to touch inside. The Kamadi Kibasa, how big is that nekev? Not a huge nekev, Kikutasara. Shaefsha Liga Kikutasara, that you can go and touch the inside with a chutasara. We talked about this yesterday. Chutasara means with a hair from your head or a hair from your beard. Question is, why are we giving this example of a hair from your head or from your beard? Now, I was under the impression yesterday we're talking about an isolated hair that you're holding, and you put it inside and it touches it, and you kind of, it's like a moitzi, maybe a satoma, you get electrocuted or contaminated from that hair. And if you remember, Barry was asking yesterday, is it because of a yad? It's as if it's attached to the basar. But afterward, learning it with my chavrus in the koil, Rabbi Chia Aryeh, he pointed out from this Rashi, we didn't have this Rashi before, the Rashi today is talking about the hair on his head or the hair on his face is still connected to the individual. He's taking his beard and he's taking a longer hair and he's putting it into the hole of this Beya or in the hole of the Kulyas that we spoke about, and he's inserting it. Then he becomes Tamei. Why does he become Tamei? Because it's still part of the body. Instead of, we always think of, how do you go and touch something with your hand? You touch it. You can touch something with your leg too by giving it a kick. And you can touch something too with the hair on your head or the hair of your beard, putting it into the hole of the beya or of the kulyas. And that's touching. That's also called touching. That's what the Gemara means by putting in the hair. So it's not out the yad, but it's because of the body of the person touching the inside.
It's called nikiya. Touching with your hair is called nikiya.
Touching the hair, that's called nikiya. That's exactly right. It must be a very touching moment when you put the hair in, but that's the way it goes. And we continue on. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Achbar Chetzi, half and half. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, V'hu Shehitzritz Al Pnei Kulay. So Rashi explains, when you normally think about this achbar chutzi chutzi, you normally think like until the waist, it all happens to be complete sheretz, and from the waist and below, it's adam. Like you were saying before, from Levenger, it comes out, come in. Says Rabbi Shimon Levi, no. What we're really talking about is the vertical, not the horizontal, which means the front of the achbar is a fully developed achbar from head to toe. The back of it, that is still adama. And therefore, said Rabbi Shimon Levi, when we said in the Reisha, if you touch the basar part, you become tamei, says Rabbi Shimon Levi, only if the first half of it, the front part, is totally sheretz, hinshal perikula, then if you touch, you become tamei. Ikadamasala say for other sake goes on the safe. If you die, you're not going to give Adam. If you touch the other side, the Adam side, you also become can I get a basa tame? Om Rabbi Shimon Levi, Vahushitra Perikule. That's only if the front of it is a total achbar, even though you're touching the Adam on the other side, but it's gotta be that at least half of it is a full fledged achbar. Because if it's only a quarter achbar instead of 3/4 achbar instead of a half an achbar, then it's gunish mit gunish. So therefore, to go and be tame when you touch the Adama, I'm not even touching the sheretz part, the Adama part. But it has to be hishud beikulei on the front part.
It's like a shomer.
Like a shomer, like a yad, whatever. Zotim, a man the masil ha-reisha, koshkin ha-seifa. Man the masil ha-seifa, ha-reisha, ha-begav, duloi hishud. So now, what even does it make if Rabbi Shimon Levi is going the reisha, Rabbi Shimon Levi is going on the seifa? If Rabbi Shimon Levi is going on the reisha, then he's going on the Tanakama that's talking about the sheretz part. He's saying that the hishud's got to be Tomei, it's got to be Gantz to become Tomei. So if you hold a narration in Koshkin HaSefer to become Tomei by touching the Adama part, then you certainly have to have Epesa Dover Choshev Achaticha Rui Leskabed on the other side where it's a full-fledged Sheretz. However, if you're learning on the Masil HaSefer, when does Rabbi Yehuda say you become Tomei when you touch the Adama part? When the first part, when the front happens to be a real Sheretz. Avaresha, but if you're talking the Tanakama that says I'm touching the sheretz part, Avaresha, even if it's not a full-fledged sheretz, even if it's only 50% sheretz, 80% sheretz, 20% sheretz, as long as I touch the sheretz part, I become Tamei because I'm touching the sheretz. Stop over here, Tanur Rabbanan for tomorrow, Yet Hashem.